Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Well, what an amazing day. I love Easter, and it's a lot of times we pastors, preachers call Easter the Super Bowl, and I'll tell you what I love about Easter is that the devil for this entire week, he's got to hear about Holy Week. He's got to hear the name of Jesus. He's got to hear about the resurrection. He just gets the living crap pounded out of him for the whole week. How about that? Give the Lord a hand, will you? Man, the devil's been messing. Devil's been messing with people for so long, messing with your life. I'll tell you what, today it changes. Today, everything changes. Today, you're going to have a moment with God. Today, you're going to have an opportunity that what the enemy's meant for bad, today, you hear me? It's possible. Today, God's going to make it good. Today, God's going to make good on his promise that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to make good on his promise that you're never going to have to be that beggar that the enemy wants to deceive you into thinking that that's all you've got. See, it's interesting because what God did, what this marks today, is the price that was paid. Okay, and I think all too often we don't think of it like that, but there was truly a price that was paid in our lives. And that price has a duality to it. It's kind of twofold. The price that was paid for our lives, the past sin, the indiscretions, the stumblings, the things that we are kind of ashamed of and we feel guilty for. Well, what God's done is he's forgiven all that in our lives. No matter what it is, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, everything up to this point comes under the saving knowledge of Jesus. Everything in this point is cleansed from iniquity. Everything. No matter what, no matter how you feel, no matter what people know of you, I'm telling you, the power of guilt and shame has to come out of the equation. But not just that. Let me tell you what else God did. What else God did is from here forward. See, what God's done is he's taken the life of Christ, he's taken Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to pay for the rest of it. I'm going to pay for your destiny. I'm going to pay for the throw of your life from here on out. And it's just amazing. You know, a staple scripture in my life is the Bible says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, Psalm 92, will flourish in the courts of our God. Man, planted, listen, the house of the Lord here is the church. The house of the Lord denotes God's culture. See, when you hear me talk about church, you equate it to culture. Those who are planted in the culture of God, those who are planted in the house of the Lord are going to flourish in his courts outside. This, Sandy alluded to it earlier. Can you guys stand, my family? Sandy, Kennedy, Brooklyn, Cassie, Taylor. I'll tell you how this works for me. I had them stand, A, because I'm incredibly proud of them, but B, they represent culture. The culture of my marriage, the culture of my home is represented right there in the front row. And what this is an extension of our family now, the church. See, the church isn't just my vocation. It's not what I do. It's interesting. I was talking to Kevin Cronin, the lead singer of REO, a few years ago, and he said, I get to play the songs that we wrote in the 70s and the 80s. He said, I get to meet new people and be places that I never dreamt that I'd be. He said, I get to come and I get to visit with people like you and these incredible people at this church. And he said, I get to make a living doing that. He said, but they don't pay me to get up and sing and play on the stage. He said, they pay me to get on the bus to go and get there. And that's kind of ministry for me. This isn't my job. When I get up on Sundays or Wednesdays or the incredible opportunity I have to break the bread of life in people's lives and give hope, that it's not a job, it's my life. This church is an extension of our family. It's an extension of our home. Those who are planted in the culture of the Lord are going to flourish in his courts. See, it's his culture. You know, I love preaching vision. I'm a visionary. I close my eyes and think of a sanctuary room this big with this many people in it. How many churches God has on the horizon that it's going to be birthed because of the moment people have today? See, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, if I could do it, let me tell you. And this is what God used me, I believe, initially in planning this church and starting this church, is if I can do it, anybody can. He probably grew up by me when I was a kid. But, you know, you look at this, that the culture is what matters. That's what Jesus brought on the earth. It's the revolution of the church. It's not just us providing our sacerdotal function. We're going to marry and bury and baptize. No, it's let's cause a revolution. And in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus finally sat down with his guys and he said, fellas, you guys are out there. You're around people. Who do they say that I am? They said, oh, man, it's a wide range. It's usually John the Baptist or Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of the other prophets. That's what it normally is. And Jesus heard that, and then he turned to Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, Simon, who do you say that I am? He said, I say that you're the Son of God. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. And Jesus said, you answer correctly, and from here on out, I'm going to call you Peter. And it's what that is a it's a form of the word Petra or stone. The word Petra is an immovable stone, but Peter's a form of that word, and it's a chip off of that stone, or a chip off the old block. He said, I'm going to call you Chip. And then he turned and he said, and upon this Petra, upon this immovable stone, he said this, I'm going to build my church. And we thought, oh my gosh, good, this is awesome. It'll be like Happy Camp. It'll be amazing. And then he kind of flipped it on him and he brought the edge. And the dagger came out in his tone, and he said, and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. It's where years ago we kind of coined the phrase around here that Matthew 16, 18, the gates of hell won't, that we're tougher than hell. Man, the gates of Hades won't prevail. Those gates, you know what those gates are? Sickness and disease. Those gates are poverty. Those gates are not having enough to live. Now, those are gates, and those gates won't prevail against his church. That's his promise. See, and it's interesting because throughout my life, I've had these moments with God. I had a moment with God by the wheel of my truck behind the house that I lived in 1979, and God delivered me from certain death. I mean, right before my eyes, Jesus made himself real to me. And I'm like, oh my, this Jesus stuff is real. And then now there's just been a series of those defining moments in my life. And dear God, that you have one today. Today you have a moment that sets your destiny in motion. Because what God paid for through his son Jesus is your destiny. I coached football for a few years, and Sandy coached and taught PE, and we had a baby, a little baby boy, and then we left. I left coaching, and we moved to Southern California, and we were youth pastors at a local church in Riverside County in Hemet, and at that time they were trying to figure out what to do with all the gangs in LA, and they thought, well, we're going to get these young guys and we're going to get them out of here. And essentially what it did, it just kind of multiplied it throughout other communities and kind of made the thing more national than just centralized there. But we were in one of those communities where they relocated a lot of those kids' families. And we're just in this church, and the next thing you knew, we started reaching athletes, and then we started reaching these gang kids. And it was a little kind of a country local church. But there was just a move of God in it. And we knew we were just there for a period of time that God had a purpose, because we always knew. Sandy and I talked. We always knew that we'd be in Tulsa. And if you'd ask me, Why Tulsa? Why you always know you're going to be in Tulsa? Because I thought, that's where I want to raise my kids. But what I realized and what I found out in through the years and what I know now in 2015, now 25 years later, since we moved back to Tulsa, that it wasn't just to raise my kids in Tulsa. It was to raise my kids in Tulsa at Guts Church. See, that's what I realized. See, what you see when I had my family stand is just a product of this church. And like so many other people, there's so many sons and daughters in here. Why? Because their lives become a product of the local church. And I believe with everything in me that every dream in our lives can be fulfilled through the local church. That's how God's designed it. But you know what? Man, there's so many trappings and so many traditions and so many things that come into play. And then you know what? People come in and they want God in their lives, but it's like, how do I equate that with church? And I began to realize before we started the church that there were people out there that were in church, and those are people that like church. And then there's people that weren't in church, because that's because those people that had they never been, it's because they had been, but they didn't connect. And I'm telling you, that connection is what I believe in God for you today. Because that's where our fulfillment is, and us being connected with. It's not just a relationship, knowing God, knowing who God is, but it's intimate. It's a connection with God. See, that's what I believe in God for you today, is a connection with God. Because what did Jesus do? He paid the price for our guilt and our shame. We can all talk about sin all day long, but the guilt and the shame of it, man, you know what he did? He delivered us from it. And then from here forward, now I've got a destiny, I've got a future, and I've got a hope, because that's what God paid for when he gave his son Jesus to die for me. And it became that sacrifice for my future. So now in 1990, Sandy and I, Taylor was a little boy, Brooklyn was a baby. Kennedy was years down the road. And I'm in our duplex at 71st and Memorial. And Sandy had gone to run an errand with Brooklyn, took the baby, which was good, probably, discernment on her part, because soon after she left, I guess I sat down on the couch and I just dozed off it's just quick, just dozed off. But I woke up with Taylor standing in front of me, 4-year-old kid. And I woke up with him holding my Bible upside down, and he's fired up preaching. And I woke up and I looked at him, and it's like he's right in front of me. It's like just preaching, just getting it. And then he kind of set the Bible down, held it with one hand, set it down on the couch that I had fallen asleep on, and he starts pointing at me like this, and he's preaching. And he picked it back up, and he finished his point, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I finally woke up and a note fell out of the Bible. And he gets done and he takes the open Bible and he sits it on my lap and he sits down beside me. So I guess we're like tag teaming. It was like an old time revival or something where one preacher, he went to the bullpen and so he sat down and I'm sitting there and I looked at this note and I picked it up and it had a scripture chapter on it. And I looked at this note, and it was Ezekiel 34, and so I thought, and you have to understand, this is when everything that we're living right now was forming in us at that time. And the how and the when and the all of that, the why we knew. But the why wasn't clear. It was general. It's like, let's reach young people. Let's reach people that, and then this Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, this note happened. And it's in 1990, and I'm sitting here with my 4-year-old son. My Bible's open on my lap, so I flipped to Ezekiel 34. And it changed my life. It formulated my cause. And I'm gonna preach it to you today in about 10 minutes. And I believe you're gonna have a moment with God. I believe that purpose and that cause is going to rupture on the inside of you and become so real, and it's going to help define, bring definition to your destiny. I'm going to start with verse 4. This is God speaking to the shepherds of Israel. And in verse 4, it starts, and he says, the weak you've not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and with cruelty you've ruled them. And you know, I have to think, it would have been easy for me sitting on that couch with a dream of a kind of an unorthodox, unique church environment in my heart, but I could have gone to, yeah, that's what they're about, but I didn't. What hit me was, oh God, forgive me. The fear of the Lord came into my life, and it's like, God, forgive my pride. Forgive me that I think that I'm fat and I'm strong in you, and I think that it's something. God, I don't want to rule anybody with force and with cruelty. And then verse 5, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking and searching after them. See, catch God's heart here. Think about me thinking, oh, God, I want to fulfill your purpose. God, I want to live for the cause of Christ. God, I thank you for my direction and my target in that regard. I mean, that's where we were. We were formulating. We'd moved to Tulsa. We brought our family. We spent every dollar we had just to move here. I picked up odd jobs. After a few months, a couple friends had had me preach in their church. And now we go to verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a dark and cloudy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and the valleys and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture. I will, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will bring them, I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back which was driven away, bind up the broken, strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them with judgment. God, please forgive me. God, I thank you that we'll search and seek after them. God, I promise. God, we're not just going to start that way, but we're going to carry it through to the end. We're going to search and seek. We're going to, no matter how dark and cloudy the day is. Verse 25, I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. When I preached that at 9 o'clock, the skies broke and rain started hitting the roof. And I was like thinking, oh my gosh. And people were thinking, man, this is incredible. There's not a church in the world that can make it rain on cue on Easter. Man, it's just the people in this church are okay. But it didn't happen this time, so. There shall be showers of blessing. Man, if it were raining outside and I said, okay, you run as hard and as fast as you can. Man, you leave the building and you get to your truck, and no matter how fast you run, you're still going to get wet. You're still going to get poured on. And that's what God's going to cause in your life. But listen, it's regarding his blessings. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. See, so we look at it and we're thinking, man, if I do the right things, if I go the right places, if I say the right things, if I hit it, if I check all the boxes, if I grab the brass ring, if all that, and God doesn't care about any of that. God's just going to say, listen, these are my people. With force or with cruelty, man, the world and religion has ruled them. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to seek after them. I'm going to search after them. I'm going to find them. Because the day is dark and cloudy. See, you have to understand. I'm on the couch with my 4-year-old son reading this and having a defining moment in my life with God. trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I've broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who've enslaved them, verse 28, and they shall no longer be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one, ISIS, terrorist, no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land. Now listen to this, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Man, I'm telling you, the shame of the heathen that has marked your life, you're not going to have to bear it anymore in the name of Jesus. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. And then verse 31, I'm telling you, should blow up in your heart. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I'm your God, says the Lord God. Your dream is possible because I'm God, is what he's saying right here. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've been with, what God cares about is not your past, but where you are right here and right now. This is it. Your moment right now could be, but it's this way. You could sit, or you can allow God to sanctify you, to consecrate you. It isn't about you living a spotless life. It's that Jesus lived a spotless life, and we just receive him. It's all about him. God's called you to be hidden in Christ. God's called you to be alive unto him and dead to that old life of darkness and sin. Man, the Bible talks about darkness, and the Bible talks about deep darkness. I believe there's people in this room that you're living in kind of a dim darkness, and there's some of you that are living in a deep darkness, but you can be free. His light has come. His glory has risen upon us. I'm believing God for a moment in your life, a moment, listen, of purpose, a moment of cause, a moment of destiny, because that's what this life is. This life, listen, is just a patterned execution of God's promises. Man, if you're bound, you can be loose today. If you're caught up in your past, you can be delivered today. Your hope is in him. See, what's amazing about the Bible is all the stories are crazy. How do you believe that? How do you believe the 2x2 in the ark? How do you believe that they crossed over on dry land? How do you believe? And then all of this stuff, you're thinking, oh my gosh, it just is unbelievable. And then you get to the Gospels. And Jesus lives and ministers on the earth. And he's so bold that he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he's betrayed. And he turns to Judas and he says, hey, do what you got to do. Just do it quickly. So Judas goes and sells him out. And here Jesus is, and the soldiers and centurions come to take him. And look at your Bible. They rush up on him, and right before they get to him, they pull back. That wasn't customary for them. That last step before they grab somebody, there's a criminal, was aggressive, was violent. They were just about to take that last aggressive, violent step to get to Jesus, and they were all pulled back. They all pulled back. They all were knocked back by the power of God. And here Jesus is standing there. They're two strides from him now, and they're just looking at him dumbfounded, like, what just happened? I don't know why I pulled back, but why did you guys pull back? And Jesus looked at him and he said, hey, Nobody's taken me. No one's taken my life. I'm going to give it. Here you go. And the prophecy was fulfilled that he'd give his life. Then he went to the cross and he died a horrendously brutal death. And then he was sealed in a tomb. And then on the day we celebrate as Easter, the stone was rolled away and he came out of that tomb alive. As soon as he did that, please listen to me. Everything that's happened in the Bible up to this point is very believable now because Jesus rose from the dead. And see, that's the key for your life. That's what you focus on right now. How can I get through this time? How can I pay my bills? How can my marriage get healthy? How can I get my kids back in line? How can that's all that stuff? Let me tell you how. The price has been paid. It's possible. Jesus walked out of that tomb. See, if they'd have taken his life and killed him and he came out of the tomb, then it might change things. But now, they didn't. They didn't take a thing from him. He gave it all. That moment for you today connects you, listen, with cause and purpose. Because after you get to cause and purpose, it's just everything else. It's just stuff. Jesus said, "For this cause I was born. For this purpose I step forward." Man, I'm here to tell you. An humble, contrite man. Not very educated. All my experience is right here in this house. But I can tell you this. As fulfilled as anybody could be, because I had that moment with God. Sitting on my couch, waking up to my son preaching to me with his Bible upside down and then handing me the Bible. God using my son to lead me to his moment. I'm just thinking, if he could do it 25 years ago with me, maybe I can do it today with you. God's got a plan for your life. And I'm here to tell you, it's not general. It starts out that way. It's very specific. It's very custom fit for who you are. You're not going to have to contort yourself into it. You're just going to walk into it and say, God, you did this for me. Because look, please look what God did for us. And 25 years ago, I wish I had the foresight. I wish I was sharp enough to say, man, God's got a plan for my life. We're moving to Tulsa because we want to raise our kids in Tulsa at Guts Church. But you know what? I realize that now. So you know what? You'll get it in pieces. You'll get it in glimpses. You'll get it in moments. And your dream becomes possible in those moments.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.